Good morning, everyone. It's Todd.
And Julie.
With Christly Confessions. So the day has started.
Yes, the day has started.
Christmas is almost upon us.
Yeah. We have 9 days, right?
And we're still filming.
Yes, we are.
I mean, folks, I don't think a lot of you understand that we film all the time. And we're filming until when? Saturday?
Saturday. Yep.
We film until Saturday, then we take a break for Christmas. So that tells you how much time we have in order to get prepared for Santa and everything else that goes along with it. But I have a wife that has managed to do this now for how long? Since 2013? Since 2013 on these crazy schedules. So I applaud you for that.
Thank you.
Now, what are you going to buy me?
You are the hardest person in the world to buy for.
That's not true.
Oh my gosh, it's so true. It is so true.
Just buy me everything I want.
Okay, well, first of all, that I can't do that.
Well, I mean, folks, Christmas is here. We have so much chaos going on in the world. I mean, I'm just ready for a break.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm really ready to turn the television on and see something that's positive.
Right.
I mean, you literally said to me the other night.
So that's why you have to turn it on USA Network on Thursday nights at 10, 9 Central.
Exactly. To watch and watch Chrisley Knows Best.
Right.
That was a plug, Julie. That was a plug. But, you know, we had our friends from the War and Treaty that was on here.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's going to be hard to top last week's episode.
Tanya and Michael. And, folks, there was such a huge, overwhelming approval for that podcast. I mean, it's...
Yes, Savannah proceeded to tell me that, Mom, that was your best podcast ever.
Yes, and she's not the only one that has said that. There's been thousands that have said it, and the emails and the letters that have been sent to us and the tweets, and listen, folks, we can't thank you enough, but I mean, I'm telling you, that's what this life should be about. It should be about realness. It should be about the struggles that people go through and what it takes to get to the other side. If you live long enough, you're all going to go to the valley. At some point, you're going to travel to the valley. And based on what your level of faith is, regardless of what your faith is, will determine how long, you know, whether or not you reside in the valley or you just walk through it. And when you listen to Michael and Tanya's story, that shows you that they walked through the valley, their faith was in God, and that God pulled them through, and Michael granted us all 5 more minutes. So, I mean, I wanted to start this podcast off today to say and to reiterate to every person out there that listens to us, for whatever reason that you listen to us, if it's for, you know, you're thinking that I'm going to say something that's snarky or that it's funny or, you know, whatever reason it is that you listen.
I hope that you feel encouraged.
Yes.
That you feel like you're not in this crazy journey of life alone, that you're not the only person going through heartache and trying times, that we're all in it together.
100%. And, you know, we are very blessed. You know, I guess as of right now, we're all healthy, I mean, as far as we know. And, you know, we've had our struggles this year. You know, 2020 and 2019 have been struggling years. And, you know, we continue to get up every day to put one foot in front of the other. You know, we pray for our enemies, you know, that God reveal to them what they're doing and bless them and move them on in a way that feeds their spirit and their soul and allows us to be able to do the same thing. I don't want to go out of this year without saying something that was said to me yesterday. I was said yesterday that when you feed your enemies, when you basically respond in like kind. And that has been a hard lesson for me, folks, because, you know, when you hurt me or you do something to me or my family, then, you know, I want to strike back. And it's just my nature. And I think it's a lot of people's nature. I mean, outside of Julie, which infuriates me even more because how many times have I told you, you need to cuss them out.
Right.
You need to go the hell off on them and create your boundary. And you've said to me, that's just not who I am. I'm not going down that road. I refuse to let them pull me down to their level. Mm-hmm. Well, folks, I want to acknowledge I have allowed people to pull me down to their level. I know who I am. I know what I am. I know who I do. I know when I did them. I know everything about Todd because I've lived for 52 years being Todd. And for those of you who like me, God bless you and I thank you. And for all of those who don't like me, all I can say is you've never met me. But at the end of the day, a lot of bad things happen in life, and bad things happen to good people. And the good people learn how to deal with the bad things in a way to where they allow other people to learn from it. And I think that I would like to be a better steward of that concept, because for me, I have been so hurt over the last 2 years that I've lashed out, rather. I have brought many people out of the darkness and shed light on their corruption. Josh Waits, Amy Doherty Hines, Katie Colvin Vansell, you know, all the people at the Georgia Department of Revenue. We don't even have to get into Georgia at this point, because clearly Georgia is just, I don't even know what to say anymore about Georgia. I just don't feel like that at the end of the day, God allows people to continue to prosper from illegal activities and from corruption and from just trying to destroy people. I believe that God places that protective barrier on you. So many people came back to me a week ago and said, you know, responding to me about, you know, comments that I had made the week prior regarding the Georgia Department of Revenue. And I've made it a point to say that I'm going to keep every person that listens to us knowledgeable and with updates on what's going on in our life. And that's what we signed up for, folks. You know, with Chrisley Knows Best, with Growing Up Chrisley, you know, we give you that look inside our personal lives. But then, you know, we're only 22 minutes, and that's not enough to tell you everything that goes on in our life. And this podcast was set up for that reason, so that we could tell you, you know, what goes on in our life. Has there been personal strife, you know, in our family? 100%. Has there been betrayal in our family? 100%. My two oldest children, has there been estrangement? Absolutely. Is Kyle back in the fold and doing well? Absolutely. Does he work every day? Yes. Is he drug free for the moment? Yes. I say for the moment, because at the end of the day, once you're an addict, you're always an addict. So you live your life one day at a time, and that's what he's doing, and he's doing well at it. As far as my oldest daughter goes, is that estrangement there? Yes. Is it going to stay there? Unless God performs a miracle, it will always be there. Has there been betrayal? 100%. Has there been lies, cheating, and deceit? 100%. It's hard for me as a parent, you know, because as a parent, we have the obligation of forgiving and moving on. So I want to make sure that in the spirit of Christmas that I say this, I have forgiven. I won't ever forget, but I have forgiven. And I look back and I think, you know, to all of these things that have been said and all of the cryptic tweets that's been put out there, that's a sign of lashing out. And as a parent, I have to look at it and just say, okay, they're still looking for attention that I refuse to give them. At the end of the day, the betrayal and the hurt and the deceit, that's something God has to take off of my heart. And that hasn't happened yet. I do pray for it. I pray that God removes that from me.
Protecting my family is my number one priority, but I want to do it safely. The people at Taser believe that safer self-defense is better self-defense. Taser's line of non-lethal self-protection devices are small and lightweight enough to carry with you or in your glove compartment or purse. Yes, they're powerful enough to incapacitate an attacker. Guns carry unnecessary risk for you and those around you, and even pepper spray can harm you as much as an attacker, and it's often ineffective. Taser products are safer and easy to use. They use an electrical charge to immobilize attackers for up to 30 seconds, allowing you time to escape and send emergency dispatch to your GPS location. Taser devices come loaded with features like taser-assisted targeting and emergency dispatch, which will send response teams to your GPS location upon firing. More than 237,000 lives have been saved with the Taser network of devices, apps, and personnel. And now you get on a Taser device, the number one choice of law enforcement agencies. Get the Taser Pulse Plus or Taser Strike Light at Taser.com with promo code CC. Taser is available without a permit in most U.S. states. So save 15% now at Taser.com, promo code CC, spelled TASER.com, promo code CC. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I feel like that where I am today, when I woke up this morning, I had a spirit about me that said, let go and let me handle this. And that's what I'm going to try to do. You know, regardless of all of the information that we have, people can sit and say, okay, well, I'm not worried about what's going to come out in January. Yes, you are. You're worried about what's coming out in January because all of that press that you courted with your blog friends and sending stuff out to the bloggers and trying to leak stuff to the tabloids and et cetera. Yeah, you're worried about it because it's going to all be exposed and it's going to be flipped on you. So don't be saying you ain't worried about it, because if you wasn't worried about it, you wouldn't be speaking about it. I'm not concerned about all the phone records that we now have that prove everything that I have said throughout. There's not one episode of this podcast, folks, where I have made an allegation about someone that we cannot back it up 110%. The phone records that came in regarding the Department of Revenue and the people that was involved, you know, Josh Waits, family member, you know, ex-wife, Kyle's ex, Kyle in general, you know, because Kyle's acknowledged that he was involved and how he got involved. You know, when you take and put the phone calls together of how they would hang up with one person and then call the next person, it was almost like a game of telephone. And then they want to sit and say, oh, I'm not worried about it. You're worried about it. You're worried about the lawsuit that's coming. And folks, listen, at the end of the day in 2021, I'm filing, I think it's 4 lawsuits. We're waiting till after January. And one of those lawsuits is a very hard lawsuit that's going to be filed. It's going to cause people to look at me and say, but why would you do that? That's not the way you should handle this. But folks, when you're dealing with someone that's irrational and that believes their own lies, and they stay in that truth, they stay in their truth, which is ultimately a lie, sometimes you have to let the courts do what they need to do. Sometimes you have to force people to spend money because they've gotten used to spending other people's money. Sometimes you have to make a believer out of people. And that's exactly what I intend to do. Now, am I looking for forgiveness for anyone that listens to me on this podcast or watches the show? No, I'm not looking for forgiveness. I seek forgiveness from my Lord and Savior. That's the only one that can actually grant it to me anyway. So the lawsuits that we're going to be filing after January are going to be very telling. The information that's going to come out, you know, after we have this court hearing is going to be very, very, very telling. When we show how these people colluded and lied and cheated and forged documents, which is the irony of it, is that we have been accused of that, but yet the government actually did that. And we have the proof of that, and we have the testimony of the individuals that was involved in doing it. So at the end of the day, those things are going to come out. And is it going to be shocking? I mean, after what we've seen with how this whole election thing has gone down, and the red side said this and the blue side said this. And, you know, I don't know that anything shocks anyone anymore. Do you?
I don't.
I mean, I think I said to you the other day, I said, you said nothing shocks me anymore. Mm-hmm. And I said, but Julie, we grew up in a time to where we were shocked by things.
Mm-hmm.
And today, I mean, we can officially say that we've lived in a generation to where we actually had those moments of being shocked,
right.
Stunned.
Right.
And today we look at the things that are on the news and that's printed and that people are doing, and we don't even bat an eye at it.
Right.
We have become so desensitized to it.
I think people need to understand, we're not just talking about like politics and election. We're talking about life in general,
mm-hmm.
like how the generations, you know, after us, everything is just so accepted. Everything is so just brushed under the rug. And we have just, as a society, we have become so lax in accepting of anything.
100%. And I don't want us folks to be that way. I want us to be shocked when a child is left in the Goodwill with a change of clothing. At 3 years old or 2 years old.
2 years old, yeah.
I want us to be shocked by that.
Yeah.
I want us to be shocked when we go to get off of an exit off the interstate and we've got veterans living under the bridge begging for food. I want us to be shocked by that. I want us to be shocked when someone in our congregation beat the hell out of their wife and does so on a regular basis, but they show up and sit on the pulpit every Sunday. I want us to be shocked by that. I want us to be shocked when couples think it's okay for infidelity to creep into their marriage. I want us to be shocked when it's okay when children betray their parents or a parent betrays a child. I want us to be shocked over these things. These are things that should be shocking to us as a whole, but they're not anymore. Instead, I get people sending me tweets, Todd, I know what you're going through. I experienced this with my own child. Todd, I know what you're going through. I experienced this with a former coworker. We should not, there's too many people that know what it's like to be hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Where are all the people that know what it's like to have a life filled with joy and to be able to fill someone else's life with joy? Where are those people? That's the hard struggle. But, you know, listening to Michael and Tanya and knowing that, you know, that they were homeless for 18 times.
I know. It's crazy.
And how they struggled to get back on their feet and to get to where they are. And those are the things, those are the stories that need to be told to give people hope. And folks, don't ever feel sorry, you know, for the things that Julie and I have gone through. Because God allowed us to go through it just so he could show us he could bring us through it.
Right.
And as difficult as the last 2 years have been for us, it's also been almost like you and I both have said that everything that has gone down since 2017, March of 2017, that we had so many questions about who would do this? Who's behind this? Why would they do this to us? And then I think it was around late 2018, we kind of knew who it was that was behind it.
Right.
And then we dealt with that hurt, but we were working with that based off of, you know, things that Lexi had told us, Kyle's right. ex-wife. And we're like, oh my God, there's no way that they could have done this. Why would they do this? And then it was confirmed to us, and then we got all these phone records, and then other people started coming forward and saying, yes, they were involved. Yes, these phone calls were made. Yes, their goal was to shut the show down because they were not on the show anymore, and et cetera, et cetera. You know, when all of that came, we were still working on hypotheticals until the proof came in.
Right.
But once the proof came in, it was almost like a sigh of relief.
Yeah.
Because it made us feel like we were not crazy.
Well, it just answered so many questions.
Yes, and it made us feel like, you know, we're not crazy from March of 2017 until now. We got our answer. Now, folks, the answer was a hard answer. It was, even though we knew it was true, in our hearts we knew it was true, we didn't have the hardcore proof at that time. All we had was what Lexi had told us and what Kyle had admitted to and what a couple of people at the DOR had told. At that point. But by 2000 and mid 2020 or early part of 2020?
More early, I think.
Early 2020, the floodgates opened and many people from the Department of Revenue came forward and met with our attorneys and spoke to them and did what they felt like they needed to do, even though they had participated. You know, they came forward and did what they said they had to do. I think it was at that point that I said, okay, God, you're working. I'm going to step back and I'm going to let you work. And since I made that commitment to God that I'm not going to block him, I'm not going to try to assist, I'm going to let God continue to reveal, that's what he did. And as hurtful as it was, I remember praying and saying, God, regardless of who's responsible, please shed light on who my enemies are so that I know who's sitting at my table, so that I know who I have around my family, so that I know what steps to take to protect us. And God did that.
Yep.
God did that. I mean, even from friends of the individual who was behind all of this, you know, her friends came forward, you know, was messaging me on Instagram and sending me things about, oh, well, you know, yeah, they told me this. I mean, I remember when they did this, or, you know, well, you know, this person, you know, used me for this and, you know, said I was going to be on the show. And if I gave them free services, it would be this. And that didn't happen. And so now I'm going to tell you everything that I know. You know, those moments happened, and that was God's way of revealing. That was God's way of revealing. And I'm so grateful for that. And, you know, I went through this whole process of kind of feeling like, for me, a level of shame. And you and I discussed this, Julie, that I said to you, I said, I feel such shame knowing the hurt that has been caused to you, you know, by my two oldest children that I brought into this marriage that you took upon you, that you adopted, Lindsay. I felt such shame over that hurt that I felt had been dropped on you, and I didn't know how to get past it. And you said to me, and to show you the kind of woman that I'm married to, your exact words were, Todd, my love for you and my love for all of my children, all five of them, has not changed. That was your response. Mm-hmm. And folks, I was the one loaded down with the shame, because I was like, I married this woman who came into the relationship with no baggage, no children, nothing. I came in with two children and a crazy ass sorry excuse of an ex-wife and mother who tried to wreak havoc on every step that we took. And you went through all of that, and you did it with grace, and you did it with acceptance, and you did it with love. And it was far more than I ever deserved. And so I wanted to say today to you that you have been an amazing wife, an amazing mother, an amazing daughter-in-law to my parents. My dad died worshiping you. My mother worships you to this day. You've been a wonderful friend. You've also taught me so much about not being who I used to be. And who I used to be was someone who would fire off on you in a split second, cuss you out, and then 15 minutes later, I can go have lunch with you. Now I feel like I've gotten better with that.
Absolutely.
Now I don't want to lash out. I don't want to scream and yell at someone. I just want you to exit my life and do it permanently. I don't want to come back and revisit it. I just want you to go and do your thing, and I'll do mine. I don't wish you any harm. Don't wish it on me. But I wanted to say to you today that I thank you. I thank you for being the wife that you've been. I thank you for being the friend to me that you've been, and for teaching me. Because a lot of times it's easy for me to say, Judy, you don't know how to do this. I can do this the best. But through your silence, I have learned probably more than I've ever learned through someone verbally instructing me. So, folks, for all of you out there who have a relationship, sometimes silence is the loudest voice in the room. And that's the way that you have dealt with me all these years.
Okay, guys, so you know that I have talked about this company many, many times because I love it and I believe in it. And this is coming from someone who knows how to cook, who loves to cook, but who sometimes is just running low on time. And so you guys have probably figured out it's HelloFresh. You know, I love the fact that HelloFresh has pre-measured ingredients and mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door. They are America's number one meal kit. And HelloFresh lets you skip those trips to the grocery store and makes home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. HelloFresh offers convenient, no-contact delivery to your doorstep for easy home cooking with the family. The recipes are easy to follow with simple steps and pictures to guide you along the way. I have told you guys that this is something that Chloe and Grayson and I do together. Chloe looks at the pictures, Grayson reads along, and because everything is pre-portioned ingredients and everything that you need is right there, it makes it so easy. And the kids actually love it. So HelloFresh cuts out stressful meal planning and grocery store trips. It's a great value, saves 40% when you use HelloFresh versus shopping at the grocery store. Because let's face it, folks, we all grab things at the grocery store that we don't necessarily need. And I know I'm guilty of this. So I love the fact that even if it's an ingredient that you may not have as a staple in your house, HelloFresh gives you that. And you don't have to go out and be searching for one ingredient, one oil, or one spice. HelloFresh delivers fresh, high-quality, pre-portioned ingredients so that you can make meals that are delicious and nutritious. Over 90% of ingredients are sourced directly from growers to ensure peak flavor and ripeness. HelloFresh offers more than 20 chef-crafted, delicious options every week to help you break out of your recipe rut, try new things, and make any night feel special. My kids love the sesame beef tacos, the buttered rosemary strip steak, the chicken orzo dinner, and they're things that I don't normally make. So my kids get something different and they're trying new things that maybe they've never even had before. And I can tell you, they both love it. HelloFresh is the first global carbon neutral meal kit company. By skipping the grocery store and using HelloFresh, you're reducing your food waste by at least 25%. Because they deliver pre-portioned ingredients, you're not overbuying, which is a burden on the planet and your wallet, let's face it. The packaging HelloFresh uses to ship your food is almost entirely made from recyclable and or already recycled content. Since they offset their operations, travel, and shipping emissions, HelloFresh carbon footprint is 25% lower than store-bought grocery-made meals. So I am urging you now to go check out HelloFresh.com/confessions80 and use code confessions80 to get $80 off, including free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/confessions80 and use code confessions80 to get $80 off, including free shipping. Yeah, well, I think for us, it was the only way. I really don't think we would be together 25 years later if I hadn't, you know, because you have said in the past and that the fighting, the constant fight, it, you know, just keeps you going that much more and not in a good way. And so I think me not fighting, not arguing back or being vocal didn't mean I was giving in or didn't mean that I was weak. It simply meant I was choosing to handle the situation in a different way.
And the different way was that you refused to ignite the fire.
Right.
And that's what I'm talking about dealing with me in silence. You had a way of letting me sit in my own shit. Because that was the way I was going to be trained. I didn't realize it, folks, that when I met Julie, that I was being housebroken. I didn't realize it until I realized that I was actually effectively housebroken.
Oh, well, I don't know about that.
And but, so, you know.
But, you know, I mean, I've said this before, because you and Chase, our firstborn together, mm-hmm. have a very similar personality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of times, listen, you guys worship each other, I know, but you butt heads a lot of times because you're so much alike and you neither one will back down. And, you know, I think that Chase has seen this and he deep down idolizes you to a certain degree. And he, in his immature, emotional 24-year-old self, doesn't know how to temper that. And he doesn't really know how much you've tempered yours.
Well, I think that, you know, I think that for me,
I mean, because right now, and this happened yesterday, literally Chase was sitting in a car, Todd was sitting in a car, and our showrunner, Hank, he comes up and he says something, and Chase makes this little remark, and literally Todd makes the exact same remark, not knowing that Chase had just made the same remark. I mean, so you guys are so much alike, and I know that drives both of you crazy when I say that. But
well, the good news for Chase is that he gets to see how he's going to age.
Well, that's true. Okay.
So if he takes my DNA, he's going to age very, very, very well.
Yeah.
Because he has the number of the same doctors that I use.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is a blessing here at the holiday season that for whatever reason, it does give you a feeling in your heart of forgiveness, of wanting to have a renewal of things,
right.
Maybe not of, certainly not of bad things,
right.
But a kind of like a reboot.
Right. Well, I think it's this year, especially over any year I know in our life, just about. I mean, 2020 has been one for the books. I mean, it really has. So I think this time of the year, it's a time to, okay, we made it through. We made it through 2020. We are on the downhill side. And looking forward to 2021, new year, new time, new beginnings. I think you're absolutely right.
I think that, you know, we are to a place that the country needs to heal.
Right.
People need to come together. And folks, I don't care if you're red or you're blue. I don't give a shit if you're purple, green, or white. It doesn't matter. If we all look at each other as our fellow brother and sister in Christ, then we take the politics out of it. If we truly do unto our neighbor as they would do unto us, or we would have them to do unto us.
Mm-hmm. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Right. Then we would not be worried about stealing from our neighbor or our neighbor stealing from us and having to lock every door and car and, you know, unfortunately, that's the society that we live in now. I mean, I can remember growing up, folks, that my mom and dad never locked our door in our house. We never locked our door. We lived in a community where no one did that. No one was breaking into cars. No one was stealing cars. No one was breaking into our home. You know,
just you and your brother were stealing your babysitters.
Well, I mean, okay, that was our aunt, so technically it wasn't really stealing. I mean, I was only 14, but I did want to learn to drive because I wanted to get to this girl's house that I was trying to go with. And so I drove, and I wasn't really tall enough to press the gas, so Randy got in the floorboard and would press the gas and the brake when I would tell him to.
And you wonder why our kids have done the things they have done.
Okay, but, I mean, yes, but I have forgiven you for those things.
Yeah, no.
I mean, the things that I did, we're not going to talk about.
Yeah, okay.
But, you know, we just didn't have those kind of things. I mean, you and I have talked about it. You know, we didn't go to school and have all this stuff happening that these kids have going on today.
No, we didn't.
And I say...
No, there might have been a good little tussle, fist fight or something. Yeah, that was the worst it got.
Yes. And hell, I mean, I enjoyed that, folks.
Oh my gosh.
I enjoyed doing that.
My friend would throw her books down in a hallway in a minute and fight. I have never in my life been in a fight. Never been in a physical altercation like that. But she would fight. Oh my gosh. It's crazy.
Well, I have been in fights because, you know, again, I had that temper.
Yes.
And, you know, if someone put their hands on my brother,
yeah,
you know, and they were bigger than him, then I had to beat the shit out of him.
Oh my God. You're awful.
So, you know, I mean, I remember I got this message, folks, on Facebook. This is going to show you how small a world it is. and the things that people remember. So there was this guy in that I grew up with, and he was on our bus route. We all rode the same bus together. And I, you know, he had bullied Randy about something, and then so we just finally pulled him off the bus on Seed Farm Road. And Mike Kelly was our bus driver at the time, so I just told Mike, I said, Mike, pull the bus over when we get down here. I said, because he's going to whip our ass or we're going to whip his. And so Mike pulled over, and he let us get out, and Randy and I fought this guy over a Rubik's Cube because he broke Randy's Rubik's Cube. And he sent me a message on Facebook about a year ago, and he said, hey, I don't know if you remember me. You probably will. You probably will. You broke my nose, he said, when we got off the bus and fought.
Oh, my gosh.
But I didn't know if I did that or not. Because back then, you just fought to win. And now I think he has a radio show or something there in South Carolina. So, Warren, if you're listening, I remember you. I got your message, and I've messaged with you a couple of times since then. And I would love to have you come on Chrisley Confession so we could talk about exactly all the shit that went down on Bus Route 14 and all of the things that we did as kids, because none of the things that we did can even touch the things these kids are doing today.
No.
I mean, we were kind of tame compared to what's going on today.
Right. And you were not a bad kid either.
No.
You were a good kid.
Yeah, I never got into trouble. I mean, there was the one time, you know, when Ronnie Williams, who was our, like a principal or something.
And our something.
I don't even remember what he was. But, you know, he was something at West Oak High School. And I came in, because now, folks, you have to remember that I always knew that I was leaving Westminster, South Carolina. I had already spoken into existence. I was not staying there. My best friend, Stephanie Grooms, and I would write each other letters during school. We would have probably had a higher GPA had we been focusing on what was going on in our school versus us focusing on what we were going to do with our life after we got out of there. But we would write letters to each other during our classes, and she would address it to me to Todd Chrisley, penthouse number so-and-so, Manhattan, New York. And then I would write one to her, and I would address it to her, you know, to Los Angeles, Beverly Hills, California, you know, to kind of let us know we were out of here.
The holidays are right around the corner, and I don't know about you, but preparing for the holidays this year looks so different than past years. And I know that our family has adapted to a lot of change this year. And while the holiday season may look a little different, it's still the season to celebrate moments of wonder and discovery. With a KiwiCo hands-on science and art project, you'll get the gift that sparks curiosity and learning all year round. Remember that the most wonderful gifts are the ones that spark wonder. And KiwiCo's seriously fun and innovative crates, you can share new discoveries with everyone on your holiday list this year. And KiwiCo has come in so handy for me because we have several children that we buy for, even though KiwiCo is for any person from literally 0 to 104. I have sent KiwiCo to several of the children on my list this year because, you know, I wanted to get them something that wasn't something just they could go pick up anywhere. I mean, KiwiCo actually puts so much thought into each and every crate to make it fun and learning and for children or for anyone. I've talked about KiwiCo before. My kids loved making the slime and really learning the science behind the slime and the ingredients and how they work together to create it. Not just a matter of, okay, here's some slime. My kids love it. They still play with it to this day. So deliver the gift of wonder to anyone on your list this holiday season with KiwiCo. KiwiCo designs hands-on projects and experiments that spark wonder and discoveries. When a robot walks, a rocket launches, and a heart beats into a stethoscope, they're magical moments that inspire a lifetime of curiosity and learning. Your child can get super cool, hands-on science, art, and geography projects delivered to their door every month. While they might not be able to go to fun places for the holidays, you can give them an wow, awesome experience with KiwiCo. And unboxing a crate feels just as exciting as receiving it. Everything they need is inside each colorful crate so your child can get started right away. And listen, we all need to encourage our children to be innovators and creative thinkers. And they won't believe what they can build and accomplish with KiwiCo. When they're finished, watch their confidence be as big as their smile. And, you know, I've also ordered KiwiCo for several of the older people in my life, because even my parents are stuck in a house, and everyone needs something to keep them busy, to keep their mind active, and to give them just something to do. KiwiCo is truly for everyone. KiwiCo is also defining learning with hands-on projects that build confidence, creativity, and critical thinking skills. There's something for every kid or kid at heart at KiwiCo. Get 50% off your first month plus free shipping on any crate line with code CC at KiwiCo.com. That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo.com, promo code CC.
There was a store that opened in Seneca, South Carolina. It was called GQ. So I went to work at Northland Cable when I was 16 years old selling cable, because I wanted to be able to shop at this store, and my mom and daddy would not let me. So I started selling cable at Northland Cable, and I got my first check was $600-something.
God, that was a lot.
Honey, I sold the hell out of some cable. I lied to people telling them how great their cable was going to be, and it wasn't going to be great. But I sold HBO and Cinemax like it was selling you your last bite of bread. So I got my check, and I went and cashed that thing. It was the most money I'd ever had in my life. And I went straight to the GQ store downtown Seneca. I bought me every color of parachute pants that they had, matching shirts, matching zip-up vest, of these studded leather belts. I mean, I looked like a cross between David Bowie,
Billy Idol,
and George Michael, God rest his soul, because I had the big hair. And I remember coming out of my bedroom, and my daddy, who was very conservative, was sitting at the end of the table. And I had gone in that bathroom and I had bent my head over and blow dried my hair, you know, when it was upside down so it gave you more volume. Then I sprayed that shit with Aquanet. So, I mean, it was like, I mean, my hair had its own zip code. And I came walking out of there with this belt hanging down over my crotch, this little sleeveless black and white vest that zipped up, which would show my three chest hairs that I had at the time, and my arms that looked like spaghetti noodles, and my legs wasn't much bigger. And my daddy looked up at me when he was drinking his coffee, and he went ahead and took a sip of his coffee, and he set it down, and he said, "Who the hell are you?" He said, "I need you to go find my son and don't come back out of that back bedroom without him." And I said, "What are you talking about?" You know, because that's when I had a little bit of hair of my lip and I thought I was grown. And I said, "What are you talking about? This is my new look." And he goes, "Well, you better wear that damn new look somewhere other than around here." He said, "Because you're going to get locked up if you go out of the house looking like that." I went right on out of that house, got into my little 200SX, turned my Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers on, Islands in the Stream, and I went in that damn West Oak High School on two wheels. And I remember when I came into West Oak High School, into the lobby, Stephanie was standing there looking like Cyndi Lauper with her red hair and her makeup, because I mean, that heifer was doing makeup before anybody knew what makeup was. And we walked through that hallway thinking that we was literally, it was almost like Saved by the Bell. We looked like characters from Saved by the Bell. And I look back on that, and Ronnie Williams, he was like an administrator or principal something. He taught them, what is the farm thing that he told me I was
like going to have? Like home ec?
No, that was Bonnie Page. Bonnie Page taught me home ec, and she taught me everything about design, and I loved her. What is it? Future Farmers of America. Is that what that is?
That was like a club or something.
Okay, well, that's what he was in charge of, too.
Gotcha.
So I walked in with these white pants on that day, and of course I was late, and God bless Faye Dover's heart because she's gone now. But that woman was the biggest snitch. She should have worked for the CIA. She would call my mom and she said, "Faye, this is Faye Dover at West Oak High School. I just wanted to call and let you know Todd's not in here. Todd is not at school today and wanted to make sure he was at home. Faye Dover would let a phone beat you home. And so I went in to get my little slip to go to class, and Mr. Williams was in the class, in the office. And this shirt that I had on was gray, and it had this mesh across your chest, you know, because it would show your, like, nipples.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, I was just very provocative. I just wanted to do anything to piss people off. And so he looked at me, and he goes, "You ain't wearing that shirt here." And I said, "Yeah, I'm wearing it." Because, you know, I'm, remember, folks, I'm grown at this time. And I said, "Yeah, I'm wearing it." He said, "You'll be sent home." And I said, "And that'd be doing me a favor." So I remember Coach Rowland, he sent me to the office, and Coach Rowland was like the assistant principal, who I loved him. He was the nicest man. And he kind of talked to me about lots of things. He was just a good soul. And he looked at me when I walked in. He goes, "Nice shirt." And I said, he said, "Maybe..." And the, folks, this is when you actually had a dress code, when, you know, they'd get on to you right. about things. And he said, "Maybe for a Friday night or a Saturday night, but maybe not during the day at school." He said, "So how about you go ahead and wear it today, and then let's not wear it next week." And I said, "I'll see what I can do." But he came at me the right way. Mr. Williams didn't. But folks, here's what I tell people and what I tell my kids: don't shit where you eat. The next year, after I'd been a smart ass to Mr. Williams, I had to have this. I had already gotten all of my, what is it, credits or whatever to graduate, but you still had to stay a certain amount of time at school, you know, during that day before you could leave early. So I had to have like two classes and then I could leave for the rest of the day. Well, the only one they could put me in was Future Farmers of America.
Oh, no.
And I remember going in there, and this is even bigger, because Stacy Lumpkin was sitting in there, and he was this little short redheaded guy. And then my friend Andrea ends up marrying him all these years later that I just found out about. So I was like, "What the heck?" And so I go in there, and they tell me that we're going to Fair Play to watch a, what's the female pig? A sow pig or whatever it was, to give birth. Folks, I almost had a heart attack. I'm like, "I can't do that. That's not something that I can do. That I can't live through that. I can't watch an animal give birth to pigs or whatever." And I said, "Yeah, no. That's a hard pass for me." He said, "You'll either go or you won't get credit." I said, "Well, I'm going to have to go out of this school with no credit from FFA."
Yeah.
Because I am not going to Fair Play to watch this sow hog give birth. And I remember going home and my daddy saying, "Well, I'll tell you one damn thing. You don't have a diploma because you didn't want to go to watch that damn pig, that hog give birth."
He called
it a hog. Mm-hmm. He said, "That hog give birth." He said, "I promise you," he said, "that's going to be far less traumatizing on you than that belt is across your ass." I just stood there and I'm like, "Dad, we're going to have to do this. Because I cannot go watch a pig give birth. I cannot." And I didn't go, folks. I did not go. So long story short is that we, that was my rebellion.
Yeah.
That was my rebellious time.
Right.
And then, you know, I then wanted to be a bus driver. Because I thought, because anything to get out of class early. And so, you know, I ended up driving my bus number Route 14. And I thought I was the coolest person in the world. I took down two stop signs.
Isn't that crazy that back when we were that age, they let high school kids
drive school buses. And me and Sonia Jenkins, who was another one of my best friends, and I love her to this day, she had her bus route, I had my bus route, and we thought we was grown. Don't you remember Bill said to you the other day, he said that he drove a school bus?
Yeah.
I mean, we all was out here driving school buses, folks, and hell, we barely had a permit.
I know, it's crazy. And you were driving children.
Right? Yes. But then I realized that just because I could get out of school early, you know, like that 15 minutes or 20 minutes early, mm-hmm. it also meant I had to get up an hour earlier.
In the morning.
And folks, I can't do cold weather. So I did not keep my bus route long. I only kept it for like 2 months. And then I was like, "No, I'm not doing this." So that's the childhood that we had. Today, you got to worry about people showing up with guns in the school. You got to show, you know, you got to worry about, you know, teachers and their students. I mean, you know, I had a little bit of that, but, you know, we're not going to talk about it. I had a little bit of a little relationship.
Okay, keep it moving.
But that was before it was a crime.
No, it was a crime then.
Well, I didn't feel like it was. But, you know, I think that today it's so scary at to what we're looking at with where our kids are in this country and where we are as a world of people. We are programmed now by the people that we send to Washington to kind of believe the rhetoric that they put out. And you can't believe anything with the press. Nothing can you believe with the press, but we knew that before the election. And, you know, people will say to me, Todd, you know, you never talk about what side you fall on. Folks, I am fiscally conservative and socially liberal. That is who I am. I vote for who I believe is going to do the best job for the people of this country, not for a select group of people. Now, that's probably as much as I'm ever going to say about, you know, how I feel about politics, because I refuse to allow politics to draw a wedge between the people that I can reach, whether they're in my party or whether I'm in their party. And I've voted for both parties in my lifetime. Because, again, I vote for the people that I believe is going to do the best job for us. But what I would like to say when we're talking about that, and then I'll move on from it, is that show me a president, someone from Senate, someone from Congress, or someone from the House that you voted for that has given you what you voted for them for. I don't have anyone. I don't have a president. I don't have anyone that I voted for the House or the Senate or Congress that has literally lived up to their word of what they were going to do when they were out here whoring themselves out for the vote. And that's the scary part. I believe that, you know, if you enter into a contract and you don't fulfill that contract, that's basically fraud, folks. That's a breach of that contract. And I believe that we should have people in the House and the Senate and Congress that if you run on a platform that I'm going to abolish student loans or I'm going to make health care affordable or I'm going to do this or I'm going to, if you damn go up there to D.C. on Capitol Hill and you don't do none of the above, your ass should have to give back the salary that the people paid you because you deceived them. You fed them a line of shit that you knew you wasn't going to be able to accomplish, but you fed them hope that this was going to be their better tomorrow. And you should be held accountable for that. Now, this Sayway or what it's Saywall or whatever his damn name is, S-A-L-W-E-L-L, if we've got somebody, I don't care. You can sit here and tell me not to say things if you want to, folks. I'm going to say what I want to say. If we have someone in national security.
It was funny that you said Sayway because that's what your mother said.
Well, that's what she's done got me convinced that's who it is. What is it, Sawwell?
I don't even know, but because I don't watch
it. If this dude is sitting in with in a group of people that involves this country's safety and national security, and he's screwing Fang Fang, who was sent over here as a spy, if that's the case, then he needs to be removed from that group. Because now you're dealing with national intelligence or and national security. That needs to be stopped. He's classified everything except his penis. He's actually classified his penis now because he can't even talk about that. But the thing that I'm saying, folks, is that when people go to D.C. and they are there on that platform because we put them there and they lied to us and didn't deliver to us what we delivered to them, they should be held accountable for that.
Right.
They should be held accountable for that. You know, do I agree with everything that President Trump says? No, I do not. I don't agree with his hair color. I don't agree with his haircut. I don't agree with the bad spray tan. I don't agree with being on Twitter. I don't believe that our president, our Senate, our Congress members, I don't believe they should be on social media. They're there to do a job of a high level to defend our country, to make sure that we're protected, that we can go to bed at night and feel comfortable, that we're going to wake up tomorrow and, you know, and not have a country that is that has changed so drastically that we don't even know we're in the United States anymore. So I feel like that for me, mine is not about a red ticket or a blue ticket. Mine's about holding people accountable.
Absolutely.
And I don't think that we do that. I mean, you know, when you
regardless of where you stand, it truly should be about holding people accountable.
And I mean, you know, when you look at it, I mean, it's just follow the money. These jobs, when these people go into the House, into the Senate, into Congress and whatever, these are not great paying jobs. Now, they're great paying jobs to the average American, but they're not great paying jobs when you're talking about people that are running companies or executives in companies or people that work in top tier positions with Amazon or Home Depot or any of these huge Fortune 500 companies. To be a House member or a Senate member or a Congress member, these are not great paying jobs. But yet these people that are there for 20 years that's been making these okay salaries are now worth $20 and $25 and $30 million.
I know.
How did they accumulate that?
Right.
Folks, let me tell you how they accumulated it. They accumulated it on the backs of the taxpayers of the United States of America. They sold us out. They bartered amongst themselves to enrich their own families at the mercy of all the taxpayers that sent them there to represent them. There's no way these Senate and House and Congress members can live in $10 and $15 million homes, or that they can, you know, net worth be $33 million. That's just not, the numbers don't lie, people. The people do.
Right.
So I would say follow the money. Look at the numbers. Look at these people's net worth. That doesn't happen. You know, I have so many people, because we're now focused on China, friends that we have that are of Asian descent, came to this country the right way. They came here with nothing. They worked their ass off.
And are the hardest working people.
And they have been dear friends to us. So I'm not getting on a bandwagon of, oh, everyone that's Asian is bad. I'm not doing that, because that's stereotyping. And that's not what our country was built on. We should be the land of opportunity.
Yes.
And that to be a member of this land of opportunity, you need to do it the right way. You need to come into our country the right way. And in return, our country needs to have a more compassionate, sympathetic ear to people who are trying to leave other countries to where they're under communism or socialism and they can never get ahead. They're walking away from everything they have and with just the hopes of something better. That should be what we as a country, we should be looked at that way. We should be looked at the land of opportunity. That's what we've always been my whole life. We've been the land of opportunity. Now we're being looked at the land of oppression. And that's not who we should be, folks. So whether you're a Democrat or whether you're a Republican, be a member of society. Be a member of the world as a whole. Have a heart filled of compassion that's led by grace. And know that what you're going to say to this person that's walking up to you, let it be words of encouragement, not making, because you don't know what they just walked out of. They could have walked out of a doctor's office and been given a diagnosis that their child is dying. And here you're going to scream at them because they parked, you know, in your parking spot, or they won't move fast enough or whatever. Be to the person that you're dealing with exactly who you want people to be to you. And if we would just live by that simple concept,
yep,
we wouldn't need party lines. We'd all be working towards the common goal, and that is to lift each other up. So with that being said, I think we have one more podcast before the Christmas holidays.
Yes.
Or really before New Year's,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So we've got one more podcast after this one, and we will officially wrap out of our 2020, the year that no one will ever forget. So I want to thank each and every one of you that tune into us every week. I want to thank each and every one of you that watch Chrisley Knows Best. Y'all continue to drive those numbers and continue to make us relevant. And there will come a time to where we're not. All good things come to an end, and there's an expiration on all of us. But right now, this is where God intends for us to be. And when that time comes and we expire for the airways, then you and I are going to be we're going to be on our farm.
We're going to be somewhere.
We're going to be on our farm.
I hope so.
And we're going to be just going to be me and you raising grandkids. So with that being said, folks, until next week, good luck, God bless, and take care of each other.